How you guys doing?
Yes.
Shane, lucky seeing you, bud.
Yes.
Awesome. Good to have you here. So as we worship, God just reminded me about a story. So I love telling stories. But in worship was such a sweet moment. And the place where you can actually worship the King. And I remember meeting Lainey in Durban. And I was a Stura NG Kerk boykie because that's where I grew up in the NG Kerk. And I love, they've set some foundations in my life. But I wasn't really ready for meeting this lady. And as we met, I said to her in Durban, I said, it's time that we go to church because we need to get to a church. And now we're dating. And I remember me dressing up for church. You know, it's the suit, the jacket, the tie, and it's January in Durban. It is so hot, and I'm sweating bullets. But I know we gotta go to church, and this is how you do it, you know. And I took Lainey to church, and I remember we getting to this church, and it was rough, you know. So every time, just before we went. I saw Lainey, and then she'll come out with something, and I go, no, no, you can't dress like that. You got to put this on. And then she goes back, and then she goes, no, 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 not like that. You know, so it was quite funny. But we get there, and it was quite a long process. But as we go to this church, and as I walk out of there, she sort of begs me. She says, Alex, listen, yeah, please, can we do something else? So I'll go to church with you in the morning, but please promise me, can I choose where I want to go in the evening? And then I said, okay, let's do it. So she chooses Glenridge. Who's heard of Glenridge Church? Okay, so it was massive. Okay, it was close to King's Park, and I dressed down because she said it's an English church, and so I dressed down, so I took my tie off. And we got out of the car, and I'm about to walk to this church, and there's about 2,500 people at that stage. And I see guys in baggies and shorts and slops. And I go, oh my word, that looks so nice. That looks so nice. I wish I could just but this is how you do it. So we walk into this building, and there's just this buzz. People talking to each other, like having coffee, and I look at the stage and there's a band, and I'm going, what's going on? Yeah. And so we start getting, the service starts, and I mean, the band and the worship is just off the hook, but you know, I've got the white knuckle grip. I'll call it the white knuckle grip. So I grab the chair, and there's no way you're going to check me, put my hands up and all of that, you know, so. But I find myself at a certain stage, my leg is going, and then you go, no, hey. Suddenly, some people started talking in tongues. So I flipped out, you know. I'm standing next to the passage, and a lady with a flag runs past me. And I go, "Ooh, what was that?" You know, I lean over to Lainey and I go, "We need to get out of here. The devil is loose." But something just made me come back. Something, there was something, there was life. The spirit was there. And I remember, probably about a couple of weeks later, Brian Adams comes to Durban, comes to town. Like, I love Brian Adams, Summer of 69, all of that. I find myself in the concert going, Summer of 69. And as the song stops, God says, but it's quite interesting that you can dance for Brian Adams, but not for me. And I went like, oh my word. You're right, Lord. I know that I'm worshiping the King. So guess what? We get back to church and now I sort of, and it's in steps. And that's what I want to say. The word that Gregan brought is there's ankle deep, there's knee deep, there's, you know, shoulder deep. But it was a step for me how to start worshiping. God changed my whole perspective of what worship is all about. So I started going from white knuckle grip to closing my eyes. So now, if I know I close my eyes, nobody can see me, you know. So I start off and I just go quick like that, and then I go back again. And then you start using the tray, you know, the tray that you hold. There. And then you put your hands back again, and then But after a while, I realized by putting my hands up like this, there was something different in this because I'm worshiping the King. And it felt so freeing. And I pray tonight even, as that changes your perspective of what worship is, that you'll start living that. Because remember, we're worshiping the King. In Revelation, it says they were on their knees, on their faces, in front of God, singing, "Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord." So I pray that that'll be a change for you, a mindset of what worship should really look like. Because sometimes, you know, we go through it. Yes, I'm telling the guys back at home, I'm going, sometimes it looks like we're in a funeral. Like the oaks are going, "You're not going to move me, bud. Hey, this is lack of music, ma." You know, but actually you're worshiping the King. Guess what? Everybody sitting here tonight has got a story. You've got a story of how you got here tonight. You've got a story of your whole life or what happened. There's certain big monuments and stuff that happened, ups and downs. But you know what? The question that I always ask myself is, what was the love factor in all of that? What was the love factor? How did you experience love? Now for me, if I have to take myself, love for me started at home. Some of you were here this morning and you saw my parents. I grew up in a loving home. So they're not here tonight, no. That's not them, but they can be my parents. Yeah. You're all my parents. Okay. Love you, Oaks. But I grew up in a loving home. You know, they loved each other. Parents are still married to this day. They married now 54 years. You know, and I always, a couple of years ago, they were married for about 45 years, and my brother's getting married, and I said to my dad, "Dad, so how does this thing work? What, you know, what's the secret?" He says, "My boy, it's actually really easy. When we got married, we decided that I make all the big decisions, and your mom makes all the smaller decisions." He says, "And in the 45 years that we've been married, we never, ever had to make any big decisions." So they've been married for 45 years, but there was an example that I could see. I could see what love is all about. I mean, the amount of hours they drove, you know, for rugby, for cricket, for athletics. I mean, the effort that they put in. But here's the thing. You only realize those things a little bit later in life. As soon as you become a dad. And you, I promise you, at the age of 30, 35, I've like, one day it just hits me. I go, phone my dad. I go, I cry. I go, "Dad, I realize what you mean now. Thank you so much for what you've done for me. Thank you for being there for me. Thank you for being at the sports games, for driving all that way." Like, it just hit me, you know, and I'm going, "Thank you so much. I love you. I love you." Funny enough, my dad lost his dad at the age of 12. So the example of what a father looks like, he didn't have. He had it for those 12 years. Some of you are sitting here this evening in the same boat. And guess what? He was a great father to me. And I could see the way that he lived, how he lived out of the Word. And you've got an opportunity to be a father if you're a father yet or not. And you're still going to be a father. Saying you're going to be a father one day. But I can't wait. You're going to phone me, eh? But those realizations, and it hits you later in life. I don't know what it looks like for you. I don't know what it looks like in your life. You might have had the same example. You might have grown up in a home, a loving home. Or it might have gone the other way. A broken family. Mom and dad divorced. Hurt. Pain. Rejection. Those things hit hard. They hit hard. Where do you find yourself in that? See, the result is we get to a place where we go, "Maybe it's my fault. Maybe it's my fault." And you go down the spiral of blaming yourself for something you didn't have any say in. See, the enemy is always there to catch and get his foot in the door with marriages. Why? Because if he can break up mom and dad, there's generations that are affected. If one of them can be taken out, there's always hurt that happens. Why did this happen? I don't have a dad. Like, I don't know how to do this. Maybe I'm not wanted. Those are all the things that actually go through your mind. But guess what? We are created to love and be loved. And that is so special. See, the experience from a young age might be a good one, or it might have gone the other way. But the problem is, when we seek love, we seek it sometimes in the wrong places, isn't it? So we look at the English language and we look at the word love. It's a shocker, because love is used for everything. I love steak. I love rugby. Yes, I love to finish a bottle of cane every night. That's how perverted it gets. See, so when we look at the perspective of what love is, we don't really know what the God love, that real love is. So I remember back in COVID, this is quite a while back. Yes, that was tough times, eh? COVID was rough. But I think we're so prepared now, anything can happen. Because if something breaks out, we'll go back to our homes and we'll stream and we'll Zoom and we'll, you know, all those things we didn't have. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm actually going to tell that story right now. But so we're sitting in lockdown, and we're watching a YouTube clip of a couple. They're comedians, but they've got this skit. My wife said, I've got to say skit, because skid is like a skiddy in your pants. Like, you know, a skit. They were doing a skit. And they're comedians, but they sort of explain their walk in lockdown. And we always think that, you know, lockdown is all, you know, families are doing well. And it's this girl, this woman, she sort of, you know, when she talks over her husband and he's like this, you know, he just sits there and she goes, "Hi guys, my name is Charmaine and this is my husband, Bruce." And you can say hello to the people. So he goes, hi guys. And she goes, "Yo, we're just doing so well in lockdown. It's like amazing." And he looks at her like this. He goes, "Yeah, it's just awesome. We're just finding our feet." And, you know, it was crazy. And Shane, this guy's, you know, she just totally talks over him the whole time. And she goes, "Yeah, this, like, we're growing as a family and all of that." And he looks at her again. And she says, "This one time we had this amazing moment." And he goes, "Yeah, like that one time you locked me out of the house." And he goes, she says, "I didn't lock you out." He says, yeah, "I had to stay in the Zozo hut." She goes, "No, man, it's a granny flat." She says, "And there is a bed in there." He goes, "It was a couch." He says, "And then you locked me out and you changed the Wi-Fi passcode as well. I've had to sit in a tree and I couldn't find the Wi-Fi code." But we get to the story of how they share. But it's funny. You must actually go and Google it. But it gets to the place where they ask themselves the question, "So what have you learned out of lockdown?" And Charmaine pipes out and she goes, "Well, you got to lower your expectations." And Bruce says the following. He says, "I learned that love is a doing word." And that just sort of jumped out at me. And I said, "Oh my word, love is a doing word." I want to read a scripture for us tonight. And it's going to be out of the Message translation. So I want you to listen, because you might not have the Message translation. Yeah. But listen to this. 1 John 4. And I think we've got it on. Yeah. 1 John 4 from verse 7 to 21. Written by the disciple John. Who was John? John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. The guy that actually put his head on Jesus' chest while they had the supper. So this guy knew about love. But listen, how beautiful it's spoken of in the Message translation. Verse 7 says, "My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know Him if you don't know love. This is how God showed His love for us. God sent His one and only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationships with God. My dear friends, If God loves us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. No one has seen God ever. But if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us. Perfect love. This is how we know we're living steadily and deeply in him, and he in us. He's given us life, from his very own spirit. Also, we've seen for ourselves and continue to state openly that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. We know it so well. We've embraced it heart and soul, this love that comes from God. God is love. When we take up permanent residence in the life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has a run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us, so that we're free of worry on judgment day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ. There's no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear, since fear is crippling. A fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment. It is one not yet fully formed in love. We, though, are going to love. Love and be loved. First we loved, now we love. He loved us first. If anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother and sister, thinking nothing of it, he's a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God that he can't see? Verse 21, the command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. How beautiful is that? Father, as we come around your word this evening, I pray, Lord, that you'll touch our hearts this evening. Pray, Lord, that you'll open our ears. We're sitting here tonight, Lord, because of you. We want to hear from you. And Lord, I pray that you'll anoint my lips. That, Lord, I'll be a vessel and that you'll use me this evening, Lord. I pray that I'll step out of the way and Holy Spirit, that you will move in a mighty way tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you created us for love. I pray, Lord, that revelation will drop in our hearts this evening again of who you are in us. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How beautiful is the scripture, eh? Go and read it again in the Message translation. But it says love is a doing word. And what is the origin of love? How did it start? And it's so simple because right in the beginning, I spoke about me growing up in a family home where there's a lot of love. But that love is the word storge love. That's a love between a parent, a father and a son, or parents and children. But what is the origin of love then? And the scripture helps us so well. In verse 7, it says, my beloved friends, let us continue to love each other since love comes from God. So simple. Love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. See, love is a God idea. Right from the start. Love is a God idea and it comes from him. It's all over the scriptures. And one guy that really knew about this was David. One of my favorite psalms, Psalm 139, says the following. Listen to this. Oh yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I'm marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. Just imagine God speaking that over you, eh? Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life, all prepared before even I lived one day. See, the language of love, that is the language of love. The God love that we talk about. The agape love. Selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. That's a God love. See, love is a doing word. If we read in verse 9, it says the following. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so we might live through him. Guess what? If love is a doing word, God did it first. God did it first. I remember the day I met Jesus at the age of 12. My mom always hears this story, but praying mothers, keep praying. Keep praying. Because I was at the age of 12 and I was stealing money out of my mom's wallet. Okay, so what happened is, this day, I was in a wallet. So I never stole notes because, you see those disappear. So I stole coins. At that age, that was a long time ago. A 5-rand coin can get you quite far. So I started stealing 5-rand coins and 2-rand coins and all of that, and that would disappear out of my mom's wallet. But that day, I was in my dad's office with my hand in a handbag, and I heard it coming down the passage. So we got quite a long passage. So I know I got some time to zip up everything. And there was 2 desks, and I dove under one of the, is that the right word, both? Dove. Very good. She says, very good. So I was hiding under one of these desks. There where your legs fit in, you know. And she comes and sits at the other desk, and she starts writing. So I'm like right there. So she starts writing, and she looks up, and she goes, what are you doing there? And I'm all scrunched up like this, you know. And the only thing I could get out is, no, I'm just sitting here, you know. And like a mother, she goes, did you take money out of my wallet? And I start bawling. I'm going, ah. You know the ugly cry when it's not running down your chin, you know. Ugly cry. And she says, my boy, do you want to meet Jesus? She took me to my room and she read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And she prayed over me, right there in my room, 12 years old. And for the first time in my life, I felt the love of God just pour all over me, right there. That is what the God love is all about. You see, God did it first. Love comes from him. He is love. Verse 16 says, we know it so well. We've embraced it heart and soul. This love that comes from God. God is love. When we take up permanent residence in our life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. How do we know that God loves us? Have you ever thought that? You've got to be able to answer that immediately. How do we know that God loves us? He sent his son. He sent his son for us. Right? Because he did it first. He loved us first. Verse 10 says, the Son was a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage those sins have done to a relationship with God. Guess what? Just as God did it, Jesus did it. How amazing is that? Jesus did it for us. He sacrificed himself on the cross for you and me. I always say it's the ultimate love story that you can ever hear of. See, the problem that we have is sin. Because sin is a relationship breaker. What is the last thing that you want to do? Adrian, what's the last thing that you want to do when you sin? You don't want to read your Bible and you're not going to pray. I promise you, because you feel so guilty and so shameful. That's why I'm saying it's a relationship breaker. But here's a question. As a saved person, as a son of God and a daughter of God, are you going to sin again? Some of you are going, yeah. Some of you are going, I don't know. It's so beautiful because this we're reading out of 1 John 4. Just in 1 John 2, John is writing to believers. And in chapter 2, it starts like this. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to sin. But if you sin. When I read that the first time, I went, thank you, Lord. I do not want you to sin, but if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he's the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not just for ours, but for the sins of the world. How amazing is that? So I want to say to you, when you sin, I even spoke about it this morning, run back to him. Run back to him. He knows what it is. Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. Fully God and fully man. He died for our sins. As a man, he came to deal with our shame. But as God, he came to deal with our guilt. How amazing is it? That's a revelation that Peter got when Jesus asked him, "Who do you say I am?" And he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He says, "Well done, Peter. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And you are Peter, and on this rock, on this revelation that you just got, that I'm fully God and fully man, I will build my church." See, that is the Jesus that showed us what love is all about. Love is a doing word. The amazing thing that we got to realize is that he dealt with sin. So that means your past sin, your present sin, and the sin that you're still going to do. That blew my mind. Because I know for the rest of my life, I will preach that. I'll preach you are forgiven. Can you accept that? I'm standing one day, and I finished coaching in 2018. And there's so many testimonies I can tell you that happened in those teams that I coached. But I get a phone call probably about 2 years ago. I get a phone call from a young man. I was coaching on the 21 side, and he was in the under 19 side. So I didn't even coach him. But he got my number somewhere because he saw Jesus in me, and he wanted to speak to me because he had a problem. So this young man phones me, and he said, "Coach, can I please come and see you? I've got, you know, I'm just, life is falling apart." And I'm going, "My boy, let's meet somewhere." And I remember it was at an athletics meeting. Jamie is doing shot put. And he comes and meets me, and we stand on this grass embankment, standing next to me, and we're watching the shot put. And like in between, while he's talking, I'm going, "Go, JJ! Druk hy dan!" You know? And this boy starts sharing his heart on what's happening in his life. He says, "Coach, I've got a massive problem. It actually got so bad. So this young man has got an addiction that he needs to feed, but he needs money for it. And what he does is things in the house sort of disappears. So he'll grab a watch and sell that and get the money. He'll use some of the tools in his dad's garage. That'll disappear. Just to feed this addiction." And while he's telling us, you can see he's like falling apart because he wants to get rid of this addiction and he wants to stop with what he's doing because his life is falling apart. And as he's talking, God says to me, "I want you to walk around, look him in the eyes, and tell him he's forgiven." And I'm going, "Lord, I'm going to do that because I want to be obedient to what you're saying." And I walk around and I look him in the eyes and I say to him, "My bud, I just want to tell you this. You are forgiven." Like his eyes went like this. I said, "Yes, you are forgiven. Can you accept that today?" And this young man sort of looked at me and he goes, "Yeah, I want that. I want that." I said, "Can I pray for you right now?" And he said, "I promise you, I prayed for him." And as he's receiving what God is giving him and he's accepting Jesus' forgiveness, I promise you, God just moves right there. His whole face changes. Like I said to him, "How are you feeling, bud?" He goes, "I feel light. I feel light. I feel God's love over me." I promise you, it was one of the most amazing experiences I had, you know, praying for him and he just walking with him as well. But I get to church probably about a week or so later, and I tell this story. I tell this testimony because usually on Tuesday nights we've got prayer meetings. So we share a lot of testimonies. And I share this testimony. And as, you know, people cheer, celebrate God. And as I sit down, right in the front, there's a door. And that door sort of opens a little bit like this. And I see a hand going like this. And I look at Lainey. She's sitting next to me. He goes, and I said, "Oh, let's go. I don't know who that is." And we go out the building. And here's this guy that I sort of know in church. He's an addict. He lives with a woman that cares for them. There's a couple of them with her. And he is bawling. He goes, "That's what you just told. I want that. I want that. Can you help me, please? Can you help me?" And I just followed what God's saying again. I go, "But do you know that you're forgiven? He goes, I want that, I want that. Can you accept that? I want it, I want it. I prayed, we prayed for him. Again, God just like moved, boof, and he hits this guy. And there's this lightness over him. Lainey gets a word of knowledge about his father. And this oak, Lainey asks him, do you have a relationship with your father? And he just crumbles. And he goes, I go, but Jesus loves you so much. And God wants to be your father. He wants to stand in the place of where your father failed. Do you want to accept that tonight? It was the most amazing testimony. And guess what? It's not just me that can have those. All of you sitting here tonight can have those testimonies. But Jesus is so intentional with what he does. He knows that love is a doing word. God did it. Jesus did it. And he wants you to do it. I remember Jesus being so intentional. Thanks, Pops. Now my throat is a bit. Sorry, with the sickness, my lips don't always work. So I can't always get the words out. They're nice and tight. So, but I remember Jesus being so intentional with our lives to show us what a, you know, what love is all about, and that love is a doing word. I remember we're looking for a high school for Ethan, and we sort of visited a couple of high schools in Krugersdorp, and one of them was Noordheuvel. Afrikaans school, huge school, over 2,000 people. And I always love, you know, love to work with young people, and because I was a coach. And as we walked into this building, my son and my wife, Lainey, they took a sharp right, and there's a couch. And I walk through the door, and God says, stop. So I stop, and I go, okay. And right here in front of me is a young girl. She's probably about grade 9 or grade 10. With her mask on, still in the middle of COVID. With a mask on, and how I like to work with young people. I don't go, hey, how are you doing? What's your name? I go, why are you sitting here? And she, like, I could only see her eyes, and she's got this mask on, and she goes, she says to me in Afrikaans, Wim, I kan hier nie meer doen nie. I can't do this anymore. I'm finished. I'm just so tired. I just want to go home. I can't handle all the pressure. So I sort of stood in front of her like this, and I go, you can't feel like that. What's wrong? She says, I can't handle it. It feels like I'm going to fall apart. This young girl sitting in front of me, I just feel like I've got to step in a little bit closer, and I go, it looks like you need a hug. She shoots out of her chair, and she grabs a hold of me, and she squeezes me like you can't believe. And I'm holding on to this girl, and I whisper in her ear, Jesus loves you. You're going to be okay. Jesus loves you. You're going to be okay. And I let go of this girl. And I'm looking at the tanny behind the desk. And I'm thinking, oh my word, she's going to think this. I just walked into our building now. He's hugging people, hugging girls. And my son's leaning over to my wife. And he's going, Mom, Dad is embarrassing us again. You know? And she says, let Dad do his thing. He's doing his thing. So I go and sit next to Ethan and Lainey. And as I sit down, God says, go back. So now I go back and I go and sit next to her on this little stoolie. And I said, why are you feeling like this? She says, well, I can't. I want my mom to come and fetch me. I want to go home and just lie on my bed and just cry. I can't handle this anymore. I said, this is not right. She says, well, I want to tell you a story. She says, this morning we had a prayer day for all the girls. They could meet on the rugby field. I mean, over 2,000 kids. So there's lots of girls on this rugby field. They had a prayer day. And what they do is they write a little prayer on a piece of paper to Jesus. They take that little thing, fold it up, and put it in a red post box. And then when they do that, they get a small little flower, and then that's it for the morning. And she's sitting next to me. She says, well, you know what? I didn't put my letter into the post box. I said, okay. She says, but I want to show you mine. And she takes it out of her pocket. And she opens it up and she says, I want you to read it. And I almost passed out. Guess what it says? It says, Jesus, will you please send me someone that'll tell me I'm going to be okay and Jesus loves me. I mean, I couldn't believe it. But that is the Jesus that is intentional with our lives. Every single day. He knows that love is a doing word. He wants you to go and do it. Are you going to be able to listen and hear when he speaks? I said to this girl, guess what? You can now never ever doubt again that Jesus loves you and he wants to speak to you. I mean, we're going for this interview after this. It's a mess. Everybody's crying. You know, the oak is interviewing us. We're telling him the story. He hasn't even interviewed us yet. I go, but this is what happened. He's like, he cries. We all cry. But Jesus is so intentional with our lives. And he wants you to know it. God did it. Jesus did it. Guess what? We've got to do it. That's why 1 John 4 says, my dear, dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. No one has seen God ever, but if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us. Perfect love. It's so amazing when you read through the scriptures and you realize every time John speaks about loving others, it's almost like God puts his stamp on it. He goes, yes, yes. He affirms it. There's actually promises connected to it as well. What is the promise? He says, if you love others, I'll live deeply in you. I'm in you. You're a child of God. Verse 17 says, this way, love is a run of the house. Become at home and mature in us, so that we are free of worry and judgment. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ. Verse 18 says, there's no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear, since fear is crippling. A fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. What is the signature of mature love? It's fully formed love is where there's no fear. There's no room for fear. And I remember this fear that John is talking about talks about the judgment. But there's also other fear in our lives that cripples us. I remember as a sportsman, kicking was quite a big thing for me because I had to kick for poles and there's a massive amount of pressure. I remember sitting next to Uncle Lyndon last night. I was just thanking the Lord that I wasn't the kicker on the TV because he's going, you better kick this over, boy. And then he misses. This is bad. I'm going, yes, I'm just like, luckily it's not me kicking, you know. But I was in a season of my life in France, the worst season of my life ever. I can kick a ball well. I couldn't hit the house from 5 meters away. That's how it felt. Because what happens? Every time the whistle goes and we got to go for poles, a fear comes over me. It literally paralyzes me. I go, no, 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 not for poles. Let's kick for the line. I promise you, that's what happened. And that fear would cripple me and paralyze me. I don't know if you've been in that place, sportsman, but you know, there's certain where I know you never fear anything. But fear just grips you. And I remember because of that fear, we lost our contract in France. We had to come back. Ethan was 6 months old. No contract, no income, nothing. But I had to deal with this thing, and I don't know how to deal with this. And I remember seeing a couple in Durban, and I said, Alex, why don't you come to our house? We want to pray over you, because what I feel is there's a spirit of fear in you. We want to lay hands on you and pray for you. And we went to their house. This guy was a Springbok polo player, and just an amazing couple. And we stood there, and this is the first time that I experienced it this way. And they laid hands on us, and they said, let's just ask the Holy Spirit to come and show you where fear got his foot in the door. And I literally stood there, and he says, just close your eyes. We're going to pray in tongues, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to show you. And I promise you, I'm standing there, and I'm going, okay. Lord, just please show me where this root of fear started. And as I'm standing there, it became 30 seconds, it became a minute, it became awkward. And then suddenly, God showed me and reminded me about a picture about 6 years before that. I remember we were touring in New Zealand playing the Hurricanes. Doesn't matter, I'm not going to name the coach, but I was walking towards my room and the door was sort of slightly open. And I stood at the door and I listened and I could hear the coach's voice. And I heard him say to the other player, "Don't worry, Herkie's battling at the moment because he can't kick. So he sukkel op die oomblik. But don't worry, the other guy will return soon from injury and things will be sorted out." And immediately I heard the lie. I took it and I believed it. And from that day on, kicking was tough for me. And God reminds me in that moment. And I say to this couple, "Listen, yeah, this is what God showed me." They go, "That's amazing." He says, "Well, what we're going to do now is we're going to forgive. And let's trust the Lord." And I say, "Let's do it." And I open my hands again and I pray and I say, "Lord, I choose today to forgive this coach. And Lord, please forgive me for believing this lie that I cannot kick. Lord, I know I can kick a ball a mile. And Lord, I want to change that lie with the truth. That Lord, I can do this. That I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And that you love me." And what they did next is they said to me, "All right, boy, so what you're going to do now is you're going to just ask Jesus to speak to you and you're going to hear what he has to say about you." And I stood there and it became a minute again. And I'm going, "Lord, just speak to me." And I stood there and I heard it so clearly three times. God says to me, "I love you, my boy. I love you, my boy. I love you, my boy." Like I just broke right there. That next day, we drove back from Durban. Now you must imagine this. No contract. We've got a six-month-old baby. We don't have a rugby team to join or to play in. We're sitting with my folks in Hartwater. I don't know if you know where Hartwater is. It's a rough place. Okay. We're sitting there, and I get to Hartwater, and my brother is there, and I go to the first sports shop, and I buy a kicking tee, and I've got my six balls in the back of the boot. And I go to the rugby field and I start kicking. And the first ball that I put down, thanks, bud. The first ball that I put down goes over the poles. And I put the next one down and it goes over the poles. And it goes, and my brother's there as well. I cannot miss. He goes, "What the hell gaan met jou?" I said, "Bud, this is what happened. God dealt with my fear. And he said he loves me." So I want to say to you, what is mature, mature love? Mature love is where there's no fear. Jesus wants to help us with that. But you go tonight, you might have the question. I can see the question marks, lots of question marks. But you might ask tonight, "But Alex, how do you do this? How do I measure that I can love?" I want you to check yourself tonight. Because there's a chapter in the Bible that we all know so well. You hear it usually at weddings, eh? But I want you to test yourself on that and see how you measure up. It says the following. It says, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of the wrong. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails." Guess what? All those words are doing words. Go and look at them again. Love has always been a choice followed by an action. I want to say to us tonight, imagine what someone said could look like. We can change this place upside down if we start living that. If we start showing people that love is a doing word. What does it look like in your life? Losing it in the traffic. I promise you, I'm an angry driver. I get angry when people drive slowly in front of me. You know, Lainey always says, here comes the look. And then I go past him and I go. But that's not patient. That love is not patient. A boss yelling at an employee. You're useless. I've seen that with coaches. I've seen a father running next to the rugby field, and his boy's got the ball in his hands, and he's so keen for his boy to score, so he's running with him and pushes him. Go, my boy! And he pushes him over, and the boy falls, and he starts crying. That's what happens. I promise you, he wants to live his rugby career through his boy's life. You working yourself to pieces and not loving yourself, not giving yourself rest. Husbands and wives, I promise you, it's happened. Husbands and wives, it gets to a place. They've been married for 8-9 years and they get to a place, well, we just had enough. I want to actually give them a fivefold. You know why? Because I want to say to him, go and read 1 Corinthians 9:13 again. Go and read it again, what love is all about. So now, I want to help us tonight to actually challenge you in a big way. Challenge you for the next 7 days. Can you practice by doing it? At home, can you make love a doing word? You know when you phone your girlfriend for the first time, you guys know this, all the men. You phone her and then you want to say goodbye and you go, okay, bye. No, you. No, 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 you. No, 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 you. No, no, man, you, man. You know? Okay, so just me, sorry. So when you're at home, let it be about the other one. Now I'm going to do this for you. No, you. You come first. All the men are going to love me with this. In your marriage, make love a doing word. Spend time together. With your kids, make love a doing word by paying attention to them when they speak. Just get their attention. They're going, daddy, but you're going, no, 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 sorry, I'm just busy. I can't, I've got to do this now first. Just get your attention to them and actually look them in the face, look them in the eyes, and actually get to their level and listen. Because then you're loving on them. With your friends. How are you going to do that? How many times have I said to people, hey, bud, praying for you, man. Praying for you, bud, thinking of you. And then I walk away. I never pray. Pray right there. Pray right there. Because it's not going to cost you anything. But you were obedient to what God is saying. Others, make love a doing word by being friendly. It costs you nothing. I remember lying in hospital. Every person that will walk through the door, I'll greet. I'll ask them, do they have kids? And I'll ask them about themselves. You know, they lit up as they walk into the room because I know their names. Nobody ever watches them as they come through, clean the toilet. They walk in and they walk out again. They're like zombies. Nobody acknowledges them, nobody. You can do that. Greet the person that's cleaning the floors. You know, when I walk in a mall and somebody's cleaning a floor, I go, thank you so much for doing that. Because I know what it's like cleaning a floor and people walking over the altar, you know. Just honor them. Appreciate them. That is what love is. Show the world that love is a doing word. Because it starts with you. So beautiful what the Message translation says, be the salt and the light. But what does it do? For you to be the salt and the light, you've got to bring out the God flavors in others and the God colors in others. What a privilege you've got. It ends off like this. 1 John 4:21. The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to do both. So beautiful. So right there where you're sitting, I want to pray for us tonight. With your eyes closed. You're sitting here tonight and you... I just want you to be honest tonight. God knows your heart. He knows exactly where you're at. If you've never experienced God's love, you've never experienced the true love of God, I want to pray for you tonight. Because guess what? It leads you into dead works, and guess what? Your whole life is based on trying to please people. You're looking for it, you're searching for it, you're going, yes, I just want to do this and do that and do this and do that. But meanwhile, the only thing you actually want is you just want love, recognition from someone. If that is you tonight, right there with all eyes closed, just pop up your hand. If you just want to experience God's love tonight in this place. So right there where you're sitting, open your hands. I want to just pray for you. Those guys that responded. The amazing thing is, I can't do anything. But I pray that the Holy Spirit will come and fill and refresh and show again. Father, thank you for your love this evening. I pray that your love will pour over those who've put their hands up, that needs your love so much. Lord, I pray for just a new experience. Lord, where fathers and even mothers have let us down. Lord, even where they got taken out of our lives. And we didn't have anybody to hold on to us. Nobody to hug us. Nobody to say, I'm proud of you, my boy. Lord, thank you that you see us tonight and that you say, I'm proud of you. I love you. I see you. Just fill them right there where they're sitting, Lord. Thank you for more and more and more. Lord, I pray for a deeper walk with you. That we'll start experiencing again, Lord, who you are and the love you've got for us. Thank you, Jesus. I want to say to those guys that put their hands up, you accepted and you loved. He loves you so much. If you're sitting here tonight and there's fear in your life, you know, it's gripping you, it's paralyzing you. I want to pray for you tonight. You know what that thing is. If that is you, just shoot your hand up. I want to pray for you as well. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your word says perfect love drives out fear. Perfect love drives out fear. And guess what? That perfect love is knowing that you're a son and a daughter of God. So settle that tonight again. Lord, I pray that they'll settle that tonight fully. That they are seated in heavenly places with you. That there's nothing, Lord, that can shake them in that place. That means they don't have to fear anything. I pray, Lord, that that'll be a revelation to them again tonight. That as a son and a daughter, they can say, Lord, I can speak against fear tonight. I can stand in faith. How do I get faith? By hearing it. So, Lord, I pray that they'll climb into that word. I always say, if you want to hear God's voice, read the word. If you want to hear his voice audibly, read it out loud. So go and do that. And then the last one, if you're sitting, somebody sitting here tonight that's still got unforgiveness in their hearts, I want to pray for you. Guess what? Unforgiveness is the thing, the barrier between you walking in freedom and full love, mature love. It's unforgiveness. I remember the story in Matthew 18 where the king has a servant that comes to him, and the servant is on his knees begging the king, please forgive me, because he owed the king a lot of money. And the king gets to a place and he says, well, I'll have mercy on you. You're forgiven. You don't have to pay the debt anymore. What does this guy do? As he walks out of this palace, he walks down the street and he finds another man that owes him 10 coins. And he throttles this guy. You have to pay this back. You've got to pay this back. I don't care whatever happened. You pay this back. And some of the servants see this man. And they go and tell the king. And what does the king do? He says, I can't believe that you did that. I had mercy on you, forgiving you. Why can you not have mercy on your fellow servant? And then the scripture says, probably one of the most scariest verses in the Bible, Matthew 18, verse 35, it says, and God will give you over to the tormentors. Which means God will give you over to be tormented physically, emotionally, mentally, if you don't forgive. If you don't forgive, that means you are full of pride because Jesus forgave you. So I want to sit here tonight, right there where you're sitting. If you got someone to forgive, bring that person before God tonight. It might be even God that you're blaming. Say, Lord, please forgive me for blaming you. I bring my life before you, Lord. If it's a person, I want to ask you, choose to forgive them tonight. Bring them before God. Say to him, Lord, I choose to forgive whoever, whatever their name is. Lord, for what they did to me. Because, Lord, I want to walk in freedom tonight. Thank you, Jesus, that you hear these prayers tonight. Thank you, Lord, we know for a fact that you loved us first. God, you did it first. Jesus, you helped us with it. And Lord, help us now in this area to live it out, to know that love is a doing word. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.